This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning. I am Glenn the Geek from Macal, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October the 16th, episode 1798. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Okay, maybe I should have used a different opening bumper because we're not really sure about the terrific show today. We're going to work on it. We're going to try really hard. But
this is all Glenn's fault that I'm on the phone. He made me restart my router and it still won't work.
So we apologize to the live listeners because you're going to hear Jamie really quietly. It'll be fixed in post for the recorded listeners, but she's on her phone right now.
Yes, I'm right here and it's all your fault.
It is because you sounded like crap on Skype, and I made her reboot her router, and now it won't reboot. You have no internet. She has no show notes either, by the way. So she's basically flying blind today, and I'll just hold you by the hand and lead you along, okay, little girl?
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yeah, we can get it done. You know who else tested the limits it was last weekend, I think, and this made major news all around the world. Mashable posted the article, and it had 2,200 shares from Mashable, and it's a friend.
The horse with the weird nose?
No, not the horse with the, not the Arab with the weird nose, although that made bigger news than even Lindsay Partridge did. Lindsay Partridge was visiting Kentucky, and if you remember who she is, she's been on our show many times. She's the trainer out of Canada who's been in the makeovers and has done very well. I think she won the Thoroughbred Makeover one year, and she's well known for her clinics, and she does Liberty training and all that stuff. Well, she was down in Kentucky doing some demonstrations, I think, and she was staying at the Motel 8. Now, we need to pay our trainers more because we need to get her a better motel. But she walked.
What is a Motel 8? Ugh.
Yeah, I know. Or the Super 8. Oh, that's even worse. She was at the Super 8. So she went up to the counter and she noticed that it said it was pet friendly. And she said, well, can I bring my horse in? And the lady was like, ah, sure. So she did. She went out to the trailer. She got her horse. She brought it in. They checked in. She went into the room. And there is video of her checking in with her horse, her big gray. And then her laying on the bed with the horse there in the room with her. And it went viral. So apparently
Are you
there's...
serious?
Yes. Now, she didn't keep the horse in the room all night. She did eventually bring him out to the Kentucky Horse Park. But it was only a $10 pet charge, apparently, to bring your horse in the room. At the Super 8.
That's cheaper than stabling at the show.
Yeah.
Keep hotel
yeah, right. Management is going to review their pet policies from here on out.
I don't think so, because this went viral big time. So I think management at the Super 8's got, well, yeah, you're right. Because now people are going to be bringing cows and pigs and chickens and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Else. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're going to review.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So good job, Lindsay. Way to push the limits. Lindsay got a lot of press out of this, though. She did.
Absolutely. Good for her, though. That's thinking outside the box right there.
Yeah, that's good marketing. Good job, Lindsay. Good job. Well, Jennifer, what is coming up on this technologically challenged edition of Horses in the Morning?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, We are going to start out with a bit of pony chat. That's right. Audrey Machu from the Pony Quarterly Magazine is going to stop by and talk about the magazine, about ponies, and Glenn's going to gush because it's all about ponies. And then after that, we're going to have a little bit of worldwide travel as Kate is going to stop, or KT is going to stop by, and she's calling in from Guatemala, holy cow, to talk about the really cool things going on there with Monty Roberts' trainer, Katie. How do you say Katie's last name?
I don't know. She's living in Guatemala, and she is a British woman. So we will be able to understand everything she says. She's wonderful, and she's actually the head of Lead Up International, which is what she started.
Oh, cool!
Yeah,
that's the youth program, isn't it?
That's the people program. Yeah, and she's got some stories that will blow your mind about. I can't wait to talk to her. She's awesome.
There we go. And then after that, we're going to lighten things up once again and get really superficial and enjoy a little bit of social media drama. And then Leslie's going to stop by from Horse Nation and explain fox hunting in Europe to Jamie. And you'll find out why she needs to do that shortly. So stay tuned for the fray.
It's because I don't want Jamie to die next week. That's why. So we're going to skip our daily Winnies, Jamie, in an effort to save a little time because we've got some stories to get to. But I did want to mention really quick that the WEG tickets are now on sale for the World Equestrian Games. They are officially on sale as of today, but they went up on Friday. I will say this, that it's causing quite a stir because the prices are way up from 2010. And they also have simplified the ticketing packages, and I think that's just because they haven't had time to make a complicated ticketing package in the shortened time they have to put this together. But, like, if you want to go see eventing, instead of buying one pass for one thing, say dressage, buying a pass to go to cross country, buying a pass to do jumping, you buy an all-session eventing pass, and that's $225, and then you go see all the sessions. So that's how that works. If you want to see jumping, you buy a session pass for all of jumping. It's $375. Now, the one that was causing quite a stir is they did have, and they didn't do this before, but they had all-day passes, so you could pick a day you wanted to go, and you could see whatever events were that day. And those were at $120 a day. They've all sold out already. They're all sold out. All the daily passes are sold out. Yep. So you can still buy an all games pass for a mere $1,380 and you can go see everything.
Gosh.
For all two.
That's amazing. Now, I hope that they sell everything.
Now, if you want to go to Cross Country Day, I don't even see it on here, but I saw other posts about it. If you want to go to Cross Country Day, it's $90 to go to Cross Country Day, which is, I think, double what it was in 2010. So
$90. Wow. It's a 40 at Rolex. So put that in your pipe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But they are on sale. So if you're looking at going, you can go to the website. You can go to tryon2018.com and you'll find a link to there. Now, you were in Vegas over the weekend doing a little horse shopping for a client, right?
I was. And so actually, I think in just about 2 minutes, you should be able to Skype me.
Okay. Cool.
But I went to Las Vegas to look at a horse. And I, one of my very best friends lives in Las Vegas, a girl that's a military wife, and I've been friends with her for 100 years. So, if, you know, going up to Vegas to see a horse was part of it, but I was excited to go visit her. Chad's been out of town, you know, it was great. So this horse, it was one of those, Glenn, that was just too good to be true. You know, like...
How long a drive is that again?
It's about 4.5 hours.
Through the desert, too.
Through the desert, over the Hoover Dam. You know, like, hey, there's a dam, kids. You know, like, over the Hoover Dam. And I took Lucas with me. And I took my client, Jen. And we drive all the way up there to see this horse. And we were going to get there and go... pick up my girlfriend, Monica, and then go to see the horse. Well, when I got there, Monica's husband, he's a fighter pilot, Goose, was like, I'll watch Lucas. You guys go play. Thank God that happened. Because a background on the horse. By the way, you can call me on Skype and maybe we can just transfer over.
All right.
Now that things seem to be working, we'll see how it goes. But this horse was an Oldenburg mare, found on Dream Horse, and very well bred, very beautiful. Let's see here. Let's see if I can make the transfer.
Am I here?
Oh, much better. We can actually hear you now.
Yay! Okay. Sorry, I was so distracting talking on my phone. I feel like I'm talking to somebody randomly. And anyway, it's weird. It's not
nice
my
to have you back,
setup.
Jamie. Nice to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. It only took 47 minutes to reconnect my router. So this horse, she sent me pictures of it. And the pictures were from, like, the East Coast. I could tell that these are not recent pictures because the horse is in trees and shade and it's Vegas and Vegas is like Phoenix, but
there's no
it's
trees
just
and
desert.
Shade.
There's no trees and shade, but she's a military. So the horse is stabled on Nellis Air Force Base and she's a military wife. So I thought, okay, she's moved around and this horse is probably very seasoned and has been lots of places. And it is this stunning, beautiful 17 hand Oldenburg mare. And she is 11 years old and she's like second or third level dressage horse. Incredible, stunning, beautiful, perfect. Three white socks, a blaze, liver chestnut, big, giant mare. That was Pandora as the dad. So, oh my gosh, stunning. However, there was this one questionable part, and that was the price. For some reason, this beautiful 17 hand, stunning, beautiful, awesome, amazing mare was only $5,000. And I'm like, I've been around enough to know that this is too good to be true. So I call the lady military wife and I'm like, what's going on? You know, talking to her, I'm messaging, and finally I'm like, so why are you selling her? You know what? I'm just trying to be a good Air Force wife. I don't know where a career is going to take us. I don't know what's going to happen with my husband. And I'm just really trying to find her a good home. I was like, I can buy that. That makes sense to me. So then she sends it. I'm like, I need a live video of her just moving around, riding her, you know, whatever. I need to see a video before I drive up there. She sends me this video. She's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just could not get a good video. And the whole video, it looks like they smeared Vaseline on the camera lens. It's so blurry.
The old Vaseline trick, huh?
Apparently, I think that's a thing. How can you not? Everybody has a phone. How can you not video from your phone? And I get it. She's like, I'm so sorry. It's just, I have nobody to help me. I'm out here kind of on my own. And I'm just trying to do the best I can. And I'm like, I get it. Okay. I get it. I'm buying all this. So I'm like, is this horse going to pass the vet? Is there any soundness issues? Is there anything? Is there any problems at all with this mare? Nope. She's been amazing. She does have a tiny little sarcoid on her back right leg. But other than that, and I was like, sarcoid, that's like a little wart. Who cares? She's like, no, it's not causing her any problems. She's like, I keep like a Winnie warmer over it, like one of those socks. She's like, keeps it healthy. No problem. So I'm like, okay. I get up there. There's a mare. Standing out, she's not arrived yet. And there is a beautiful, stunning 17 hand liver chestnut Oldenburg mare, so friendly, comes up, is loving on me. And Jen and Monica, we're just like, oh my gosh, she's beautiful. And she is wearing a Winnie warmer on her back right leg. And so I'm like, she told me that they had a little sarcoid on there and whatever. So she finally arrives. She's like half an hour late. And this mare was like in our pocket the whole time, was just so sweet.
Can I first
say
that's unusual? Usually they're there with the horse all tacked up first.
I know, but it's going to make sense here in a minute. Okay. Because this mare is so friendly. You could not fall in love with her. Like, we're taking pictures with her. She's just like the sweet. And she told me she's like the sweetest horse in the barn, always really friendly. So she finally shows up and goes to get the horse tacked up, and she's just taking forever. And she brings a friend with her. And this woman, who's her friend, and I'm using air quotes, I don't know why you couldn't have a friend videotape you before, but she's got this friend with her. And I have never in my life heard a woman cuss as much as this woman. I know a lot of our listeners
have felt. Wait a minute. You cuss a little bit. So
there is nobody that I have ever in my entire life met and heard the F-bomb. The first word they said to me was the F-bomb. And then the F-bomb was dropped. Like,
Lucas wasn't along, right?
That's why I was saying, thank God he wasn't there. Geez. Goose watched him. It was every other word. And I'm on an Air Force base. I'm dressed up. We're clients. We're here to shop for this horse. And this lady brings her friend along who also owns horses. And I was like asking some, she's like, I don't know F about dressage. I don't know S about F. I mean.
Way to make a first impression.
Was like, who brings this person to sell a horse? It was the most bizarre behavior I have ever
heard. Please tell me you recorded it secretly.
Oh, God, I wish I had. We can play it.
We could beep it. It'd be funny.
I've never heard somebody so incredibly foul-mouthed. I mean, to the point where I started laughing at her because it was so ridiculous. Like, how she would go out of her way to drive. Anyway, so she's tacking up the horse. She pulls the Winnie warmer off the horse's back right leg. And Glenn, she told me, as a tiny sarcoid doesn't bother her. I look at the leg, and now mind you, I've been a vet tech for at least 20 plus years off and on in my radio career. If I didn't have a radio job, I was a vet tech. I worked for a lameness specialist, okay? I can spot a lameness from 47 miles away. And I look at this, she pulls the Winnie warmer off, and this tiny little sarcoid, I said, huh, Diane, when did she deglove her right hind? And she looks at me like, I go, I thought you said it was a tiny sarcoid. That's like she degloved her right hind. She goes, oh yeah, she did it when it was a baby. It was smooth wires. No big deal. Glenn from hock to toe is open, no hair. Like halfway around the horse's whole entire leg was just skin. I mean, there was no hair.
She did it when she was a baby and it still looks
like
that?
And she told me, she goes, I took it to Georgia State and they told me that you just keep it covered, that you can't do surgery. And I let that go. And later when I got in the car, I'm like, wait a second. I mean, I'm from Georgia and Georgia State is downtown Atlanta and there ain't no vet clinic at Georgia State. So there you go.
So you may have been fibbed to the whole time?
She's taking forever to tack up. She finally gets, and I'm like, I go, what's it? Like, she couldn't put the girth on. She was like, putting it on, taking it off, putting it on, taking it off. And I finally go, what's the deal? What's going on? She's like, I'm so sorry. I just love her so much. I'm just so nervous. And I'm like, okay, I'm like, my heartstrings are pulling a little bit. I get it. Like, you're a military wife. You're just, So she goes to get on the horse.
Okay. I would have loved to see your client's face at this point.
The cussing chick, the taking forever. Like, I went to the bathroom and came back, and she still wasn't on the dang horse. I don't know what's going on. There's a eviscerated leg, okay, that, like, has healed.
Is it
but
still
it's
open?
Gross. No, but it's, like, just skin.
Oh, so
but,
there's
like,
no air, hair.
Skin.
It's just...
There's no hair.
Bumpy. It's,
and the back right leg is huge. Huge. Hmm. So anyway, she gets it tacked up. She takes it out there. I'm like, why would you not tell me about that? I'm going to notice it.
Yeah,
so she takes it out. Glenn, she gets on the mare and just takes off at the trot. And this mare is so freaking lame on her right front leg. That
her right front, not the back leg.
Her right front, not the back leg. My student is a beginner. And I go, do you see that? She goes, oh my God, that horse is so lame. And she can't see a lame horse if it was apparently, unless it's right in front of her limping like
even
crazy.
I would have noticed it, huh?
You would have noticed anybody. And this chick is still over here dropping the F-bomb and the S-bomb. And the girl's riding the horse. And she's wearing like, she's riding in like an amazing saddle. She's got this amazing horse who is so crippled lame. And the girl's just riding it. Mind you, she's a dressage rider. What is the deal with dressage riders? She was on the wrong diagonal the whole time and then went across X and switched to the wrong diagonal. And all her videos, she was on the wrong diagonal. Is that a thing in dressage? I don't know why it would be, but she's on the wrong diagonal and it makes me crazy. So she's on the wrong diagonal. The horse is limping. The chick is cussing. My client is like, oh my God. My friend Monica's like, where are we? How are we here? I am like, this is insane. Mind you, I'm still feeling sorry for the girl who has to sell the horse. So I'm like, come over here.
Of course you are.
I'm like, can I talk to you honestly about what's going on here? And she was like, honesty is the only way. And I'm like, huh, okay. Your horse is really lame. She's like, she is feeling lazy. I trimmed her hoof last night, though. I trimmed her feet. I'm like, you trim her feet? She's like, yeah, I trim her feet. I was like, well, let me flex it real quick. Pick up the right front. I go to flex the fetlock, like nothing. I kind of hyper flex the fetlock, nothing. And then I go to bend the horse's knee. Holy cow, a 17 hand mare got 19 hands when I tried to bend her knee. Like, just bend it. Like, ooh, pick it up. Like, I'm picking
you're lucky
hook.
You didn't get hurt.
Right? And I'm like, huh, did you know that your horse is sore in its carpus? And she's like, huh? I'm like, it's knee. It's knee. It's knee hurts. And she's like, well, I know she's just seeming really lazy. I was like, why don't you go ahead and hop off and watch this? So I'm like, I go through the whole thing. At this point, still feeling sorry for her. You know what? She was not very surprised when I was showing her the sore. It wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so
strong.
There's not, none of that. She just kind of looked defeated. And I was like, I'm still feeling sorry for her. And I get, you know, so I'm like, and she goes, do you want a rider? Do you want a rider? And I was like, no, I think I'm okay. And of course the mare is super spooky because she hurts. Like that's a behavior due to pain, like pain-mediated behavior is spooking sometimes. And she's spooking in the corners every time she turns with that knee on the outside. Actually, when the knee was on the outside, it hurt the most. It was crazy. Super lame. Like, we're talking bump, 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 bump. Like, how can you ride this horse if you love it and know it's that lame? Get in the car. It hit me. They played me. First of all, who's not going to notice that a horse's right hind or left hind has been degloved at some point and it's giant? And then to have a horse lame in the right front. And this was the dang sweetest mare and she would make a great brood mare. But like, maybe she's not even going to be sound at the walk in 6 months. She was that crippled. I left there and I'm like, well, you guys take care, you know, and the lady's like, F and F and F and F and F and F. And the story's going to end at some point and it needs to end now. And mind you, I get in the car and I'm like, they played me, sending me a blurry video, pictures from 2 years ago. I'm like, next horse, we are doing our diligence. I'm Facebook living with somebody.
This is not the first time you've horse shopped, Jamie.
No, I know, but I wanted to go to Vegas anyway. But the technology nowadays.
I can't believe you were there and still feeling sorry for her. You should have known you were played when you first saw her show up.
Oh my God, I'm an idiot. I'm such an idiot. And I'm telling my client, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just bought the whole military wife thing.
Yeah, like, you bought into that. Yeah.
Played the military wife card. And she did not know that she had such a captive audience in this military wife. But I'm like, you know, I'm like, I've been lucky enough to keep my horses. I understand. I'm like, she's going through some stuff. Like, screw you and your cussing friend with your crazy F-bombs that you drop every less than 35 seconds.
I hope this woman doesn't have kids. I really do.
The lady with the F-bombs has kids because she's like, I'm effing selling my daughter's effing barrel horse because effing this and effing that. I'm like, geez. What is going on? Like, who communicates like that in the real world? Nobody. And I thought it was weird when we got there. There was a bunch of people milling around the barn. And when we got there, none of them talked to us. Like, you would think that somebody at a boarding stable would go, hey, how's it going? Nothing. And I was like, well, people here sure are weird. Turns out that we're going to see the weird people. They think we're weird too. So
I should be laughing. This is sad.
It was pretty terrible. So if there is a horse at Nellis Air Force Base,
I'm laughing because only you, Jamie.
Oldenburg. I told my client, I'm like, this is too good to be true. And when we get there, we're either going to find this magical unicorn or I'm going to have a great story for my show. I was like, that's it. And she goes, I can do that.
Well, for long-time listeners, we have not had a good horse shopping story in a long time, so thank you for contributing to
that. You're welcome.
It only cost you about $400 in fuel and time.
Thank God. You know, Lucas, I took him to Circus, and he won a stuffed animal,
I know.
And all was right in the world.
That was a good thing. He won a great big square pants SpongeBob thing.
It was like, I don't know what kind of monster it was, but let me tell you something. That great big monster made in China by some like 12-year-old in China cost me about $147.
Till he won it.
Because, no, you don't get the big one right off the bat. You got to win 400 small ones to add it up to then trade it in. And then he traded in the baby seal. And he's like, but I want the baby seal. And I'm like, no, you got the monster. He's like, but I want a baby seal. I'm like, but you have the monster. You traded all the baby seals in for the monster. But I need a baby. I'm like, fine. Play the baby seal again. And we had to pay $100 more and try to win another damn baby seal.
Welcome to Vegas. You'll lose your money one way or another.
And then I paid $1.75 for a shot glass of water.
Let's hear from Omega Alpha Equine. You know, if you have, if your horse has sore joints, you can be helped by Omega Alpha. Let's hear about that.
Do they have topical things?
Shoulder bone connected to the leg bone. Leg bone connected to the foot bone.
The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Oh, well, do we have our guest on yet?
We do, yes.
Sorry, my computer's still not quite worked up. We have Audrey Michoud on, and she is the editor of Pony Quarterly magazine. And Audrey lives down in Florida and is also an expert on German riding ponies. I just bought a German riding pony for one of my other clients, a successful purchase of a nice pony. And I thanks to a listener who went to go see him before we actually shipped the pony here. And so I just am falling in love with this breed, but I know nothing about him. And my best friend, Donna, who also lives down in Florida, just started leasing a German riding pony from Audrey. And I'm like, we've got to talk to her and talk to her. And turns out that she's also the editor of Pony Quarterly magazine. And all just tying all this together, we have so many listeners that have ponies and love ponies. So I just thought we need to have like
including me.
Pony time.
That's right.
Yeah. Listeners and you and me, I own a pony too. So it's not as fancy as a German riding pony, but whatever. Audrey, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on. There's just so many connections that I'm just like, just put her on the show. I got to talk to her.
Yeah. No, it's funny what a small world it is.
It really is. Well, first off, before Glenn wants to really talk to you about the Pony Magazine, I want to talk to you about riding German riding ponies, because we have one and Oh my gosh, it is the fanciest little moving thing I've ever seen. And it's just, I told the owners, I'm like, this pony we found is going to win everything in dressage. And we bought it out of Montana. Like, what?
Yeah.
So talk to me about German riding ponies. What are they? And did they really come from Germany? Just kidding.
Well, so German riding ponies do come from Germany. It's actually a very young breed. It's probably about, they started being developed about 60 years ago, and it was with the idea of producing small warm bloods, you know, something for children to ride and compete and learn how to ride then, you know, a bigger version later on when they outgrow the ponies. And it started obviously in Germany, and other countries had their own, like, British riding ponies are somewhat similar with the same, you know, started under the same idea. And those had been around for a long time. And then there's a Dutch riding pony that started around the same time the German riding pony did. But they originate mostly from Welsh, and then the Welsh, mostly Section B, were crossed with thoroughbreds, with warm bloods, with Arabians. British riding ponies were used, and, you know, slowly over time they developed into these really, you know, fancy amazingly talented miniature warmbloods, basically. And now it's gotten, not only are they popular with the children, but they're also popular with small adult amateurs, or, I mean, even professionals also, but, you know, smaller sort of people that want really quality animals, but want something smaller.
So that's so that's kind of Donna's situation too, is she's been just desperate for a pony, but she wants to be a Grand Prix dressage rider, but she loves ponies.
Right.
But she wants to be a Grand Prix dressage rider. It's like she has found.
Right.
I think she really came to the right place.
Yes. And now with German riding ponies coming to the U.S. and becoming popular here, you don't have to make a choice anymore. Before, it used to be like, well, do you want to ride something small that you really fit on, or do you want to be competitive? And now you can actually do both. And they are really suited for many disciplines. I mean, there's in Germany, they compete in eventing, in jumping, in combined driving, and in dressage. So you have the lines, the breeding lines, also delineated by what they produce. So, you know, you've got the jumper stallions and you have the dressage stallions, and then the driving kind of comes in mostly from the dressage lines, and eventing, you know, sometimes it's dressage bloodlines that produce eventers and sometimes it's the jumpers. But they've gotten quite specific and they've gotten, you know, really fine tuned, and, you know, you kind of know what you're getting, and, you know, they've gotten pretty, you know, kind of crazy fancy. The newer stallions are just really kind of outrageously fancy, and they go, you know, and the breed has gone through the same sort of trials and tribulations that the warmbloods, only we're probably 15 or 20 years behind. So a little bit, you have to decide, like right now there's been a little bit of a kerfluffle. The really amazing movers don't have a really amazing temperament. So there's been big discussions in Germany about, you know, these were children's mounts to begin with, and let's not get away from having really good temperaments. So the breed is starting to go back to trying to make sure that the temperaments are really good. Because I know lately in Germany, that has been an issue.
Well, I understand that, because the one little pony that I am dealing with is just as hardworking and try as he can. But Donna is riding one of your stallions, and she calls me and she's like, Jamie, I don't know if I can do riding a stallion. Then she called me, oh my God, it's the greatest pony ever. And she's never been around a stallion. So talk to us about the temperament and kind of what you do with them, with the German riding ponies.
Yeah. I mean, temperament is huge, because number one, you know, most of the people that are looking to buy a smaller mount are also looking for really good temperaments. You know, there are reasons that they are not looking at 16 three-hand warmbloods, because it's too much horse. They're often hot. And they want something smaller, easier, and just really, you know, kind of steady Eddie good eggs. And so temperament for me has been really key in selecting the German riding ponies that I either bring over or I breed. And Bulgari Boy has turned out to have just the most amazing temperament. I mean, we bought him as a unbroke 4-year-old. And I was 5 months pregnant and I broke him, and he just from the get-go was easy as can be. And I mean, I put all my beginners, I start out on, we call him BB in the barn.
Tell us about what you do at your farm. Do you breed your ponies? Do you show them? What do you do?
I do a little bit of everything. I train and show. I do some importing, I do lots of sales, and I do a little bit of breeding. I have a little farm in Wellington, just outside of Wellington. And so space can be an issue. So I only have a foal or two a year. And actually this year I didn't have any, and next year I'm not going to have any, but, next year I'll start breeding again. And, yeah, the breeding is a lot of fun, and it's really addicting. It's kind of scary. It's a good thing I don't have a lot of acreage. I'd probably go a little crazy.
Yes, we are limited by our space, fortunately.
I don't know. What I've learned about swimming is space is not a limiting factor. They do it anyway.
Right. You figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You borrow the neighbor's property and then the neighbor's property. Yes. And
listen, Glenn, I only have two horses at the neighbor's. Let it go.
See, there you go.
So tell us about Pony Q Magazine.
Yeah, Pony Quarterly developed sort of to try and get the pony community together. It's kind of an underserved community, I feel like. And there wasn't anything, you know, a magazine that really was directed toward the ponies, about, and more sport ponies, not just sort of, you know, backyard or minis or that kind of thing, but really ponies that are competing and and the adult amateurs, because I think that's a little bit of also an underserved market. And so my mom and I, my mom is a graphic designer, and I started it out of our house, and we still run it. And it's grown huge. It's in our third year, and we love it. We meet all sorts of great people doing it, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, I'm on the website now for Pony Quarterly. It's ponyq.com. And I like that you're covering all different ponies and all different forms of competition, because a lot of times you see magazines like this pop up and it's only for jumpers, right? Or it's only for one particular discipline. And here you've got driving, you have in hand. I mean, you really do cover a little bit of everything. And I like that you have, you also have the classifieds in there. And I have a Hackney pony, that, which I just use. We don't compete with that Hackney pony. But I've owned a Hackney pony in the past that was an Ohio State champion. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. A little crazy, because it was a little wild to drive that particular pony. But but I like that you're covering everything. And ponies, I think, and maybe you can clarify this, have really seen a comeback. In the last 5 years, we're seeing more and more people, adults that are willing to ride a pony that wasn't the case before.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think, again, it goes back to, you don't have to sacrifice the quality for having a pony. And they're, you know, they're hardier. They are easier keepers generally.
Generally.
they fit in smaller, they fit in smaller areas. You can have more of them on a smaller acreage. It works out really well.
Did you hear that, dear? I can have more of them. Yeah. That's what she said. That's what she said, Jennifer.
You can have more of them. And I think that there's been a lot that have, there's a lot of ponies that have been really successful lately, and it's kind of got a lot of people on the bandwagon. And Melissa Mulcahy out in California has brought, she owns three stallions, and one of them was Horse of the Year for USDF at first level, beating all the horses in the country. There's been some really great driving ponies that have come out at, you know, our pony teams just went to Worlds and did really well. Katie Whaley, now she had Welsh ponies, but she finished in the top 10 at the Worlds. And Randy Cadwell, she has won world championships on a German riding pony named Kabam. And so
Kabam is one of the most famous driving ponies in the country, actually. Yes.
And now he's owned by a little girl in Indiana who competes him in dressage and is cleaning up.
Every pony deserves to be owned. Every pony deserves to be owned by a little girl at some point. And some of us are just little girls at heart. So that counts too. Well, listen, it's been awesome to have you on. We would love to talk to you again soon. And again, it's ponyq.com. Yeah. What is your website for your farm?
It's xanadudressage.com. That's with an X, X-A-N-A-D-U zenitudressage.com.
Oh, I like that.
Zenitudressage.com. I do too. Fantastic. Audrey, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Audrey.
Good luck.
I get down to Wellington a couple times a year. I'm coming to visit the ponies, okay? When I come down.
Come visit. And I even have a Hackney that will make
you
smile. You'll feel right at home.
All right, good. All right, thanks, Audrey.
Perfect.
PonyQ.com.
Thank you. Thanks so much, you guys.
All right, I'm going to be stopping at her place next time I'm in Wellington.
I know you will. She's going to wish she never invited you over.
If your girth and saddle fit have been giving you a lot of "it's that kind of a day," you need to check out the shoulder relief girth from Total Saddle Fit, which now comes in leather or synthetic versions. And the shoulder relief girth is the synthetic version is antimicrobial and super easy to clean. And the synthetic as well as leather shoulder relief girths improve saddle fit and your horse's comfort because the center of the girth fits in your horse's natural girth groove, the narrow part down near the bottom. And the sides are set back to attach to the bill. It's a little further back than the center so that your horse doesn't get pinchy elbows and his saddle doesn't get drawn up onto his shoulders. The Total Saddle Fit shoulder relief girth helps saddles that are of marginal fit better, and it helps saddles that fit perfectly be more comfortable. And the unique shape allows for elbow clearance, and the shoulder relief girth synthetic version is compatible with the 100% wool fleece cover available from Total Saddle Fit, so you can still have natural materials touching your sensitive horse's skin. And you can find out a whole lot more at totalsaddlefit.com.
I did want to mention that Jemmy and I, our intrepid producer here at the Horse Radio Network, we actually got to go do our first adventure for Finding Florida over the weekend. And it was on Saturday, and we had a beautiful day. It was a beautiful day. And our first adventure for the Finding Florida show, and for those that don't know, we're starting a new travel show that's not horse-related. I needed to do something. Jennifer wanted me out of the house 1 weekend a month, basically, is what it was. And then I needed to do a show that was not horse-related just for fun. I always wanted to do a travel show, and Jemmy showed up and was the perfect co-host for that. So we went out and did our first adventure. This show is going to be a little different. We're not just going to be talking about places to go. We're actually going on adventures around Florida.
Are you recording while you're there, or are you talking about it later?
All day long. So our first adventure was to do 10 free things at Disney World in one day. This was put on by our auditors, by the way, that issued this challenge. I threw it out to the auditors. 10 free things to do at Disney World in one day using only Disney transportation. So buses, boats.
How'd that work out?
Oh, my
God. Was your free things like throwing, collecting pennies out of a fountain? Like,
no,
what's free at Disney?
You'll have to listen to the show to hear that part. But we met the most fascinating people and got the most fascinating interviews all day long. It was so much fun. And we met the wildest people. So the part of the adventure is following along. Can we do it? Can we get all this accomplished in one day? And I think we were on about 25 boats, buses, and monorails. But it was a blast. And we were interviewing people on the monorail with a whole car full of people. And there we are with the microphones interviewing these people. It was a blast. And we found the most interesting people to talk to. So part of it is, can we get the adventure done? But part of it is who we meet along the way. And I don't know that a podcast has been done quite like this before. And each area we go to in Florida, we're going to do one a month. Each area we go to in Florida, we're going to do a different challenge. So this one, I got to tell you, plain wore us out. It was tiring. And we didn't get done till like 11 o'clock that night. So that worked out. It worked out great. We talked about it later. It couldn't have gone any better. And I can't wait for everybody to hear it. So that'll be coming out the end of the month. That was our little adventure over the weekend. Having fun in Florida. And
that sounds amazing. What a fun time.
It was a fun time. And, again, we looked around for another podcast. There's a lot of travel podcasts, but they mostly just talk about a place, And we wanted to experience the place and talk about it along the way. And I think we accomplished that. We'll find out after editing's done. It's all in the editing, right? But we had fun, and I think everybody else. One of our listeners, Jessica, came down to meet with her husband, Roger. They met us for a couple of the stops, and we want to encourage that as we get more popular, is have our listeners meet us along the adventures, and they spent about an hour with us. So that was fun. That was a good time, one of our auditors. And they walked away saying, you know, they met us at Disney Springs, which is used to be is the shopping sort of restaurant district. And they were like, we live 20 minutes from here and we never thought to come here. And they spent the whole day there and had a blast. So if we accomplish that kind of thing, if we get people in Florida learning about other things to do in Florida, that's our goal. So it was really a lot of fun.
Cool.
So do you want me to go on here with Leslie? Because you know what? You got to talk about an adventure you're going on next week.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, so I'm trying to think, like, can we reschedule her for Wednesday? Let's try that.
Okay, we'll try that. We'll get her back. But right now, we're going to head over to Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation. Hopefully, maybe we'll get Leslie on. Leslie, are you there?
Hello.
There we are. Yay. We've had a technologically challenged day the whole time, Leslie. So, so if we lose you, we'll call you back.
Okay.
I'm not on my phone anymore, so that's good.
Yes. We started out with her on her phone. So, Leslie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. Were you at Fair Hill over the weekend?
I wasn't. No, we did have Jenny up there covering it, but I was following it from afar.
Okay, Jamie, tell her what you're doing. Tell the listeners what's going on and why Leslie's so important, and Jennifer today, both.
I am so excited, you guys. I am heading to, well, I have a birthday coming up on Thursday, and it's kind of a big one, okay? Like the big 4-0. So Chad was like, what do you want to do for your birthday? And he's like, let's take a trip. Where do you want to go? And I was like, well, where do I want to go? Are we taking the kid or are we not taking the kid? I think we can take the kid to my parents' house. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to Ireland. I want to drink Guinness upside down, straight out of the cask or the tap. I want to lay down and drink Guinness like Vivy. And I want to ride horses. Mm-hmm. I want to drink beer and ride horses in Ireland. I mean, how amazing does just that idea sound?
Dude.
So I'm like, what are we? And so we are heading to, we're taking Lucas on Friday to Oklahoma. Peace. Dropping him off and I'm heading to Ireland. And we arrive early Monday morning because it's an overnight flight, red eye and for us. And then arrive there in Ireland Monday morning. And we rented a car and we're just going to like cruise Ireland. We're going to go to the Guinness factory. That's in Dublin. We're going to land in Dublin and drive around. And I found a place. Well, Glenn told me about a place, Cooper's Hill Livery in Ireland. And Glenn, what is your history with him?
Well, you interviewed him on the Stable Scoop. They've come on the Stable Scoop show and they're good friends of the Horse Radio Network. They follow our shows and they repost all the time and they're always on Twitter and help us promote. And I said, well, if you're going to Ireland, you have to talk to the people at Cooper's Hill because they basically help you have a fox hunting adventure or other kind of riding adventure if you want while you're over there. And apparently they have set you up.
They basically, what their website says is we provide assistance in planning every aspect of your equine vacation.
Yes. And
they are
very enthusiastic about it, too. They're great people.
Trail rides, beach riding, cross-country lessons, just trotting down a country lane. They fox hunting, hunting clinics. There's a haunted castle ride, which sounded really awesome. So,
wow.
You ride in the castle?
Ride to a haunted castle. And I don't know what do you take a break and you like eat your meal. It's like 3.5 hours. It's a medieval castle that you ride to. So
yeah, only 2 out of 3 come back.
I don't do haunted, so I was good. So I said, hey, I reached out to them. I'm coming. They were like, oh, we can take you on this trail ride, and I was like, okay. Let me talk to you about what I really want to do. I'm like, I want to run fast and jump big things. And then finish the day with Guinness. And I'm like, I think what I would like to do sounds a lot like fox hunting. And who doesn't want a bucket list ride if you're fox hunting in Ireland? Well, lo and behold, Cooper's Hill Equine has set me up with fox hunting in Ireland. And I just got this email. Can I read the email that I got from him, Glenn?
I guess. Yeah.
Yes, please.
An excerpt.
Yeah, Leslie wants to know what the email says.
Yeah, right. Okay, so just an excerpt was, oh, hey, it's James. I'm in charge
James
of
is a super things nice guy.
At Soup Cooper's Hill. And yeah, we're going to pick you up in the limo and bring you to fox hunting, and then we'll take you back. Let us know. If your husband wants to come, we'll take care of him too. And by the way, we're going to pick you up in the limo. And if you need a place to stay, we can like help you find a place to stay. Because of course, I'm like, I don't have a place to stay. Because they were like, where can the limo pick you up? I don't know. Because I don't have a place to stay. We're going to just drive around and Airbnb it through the little town. So he's like, we can help you find a place. I'm like, amazing.
What, and Leslie, what she doesn't know is he contacted me after and said that he is just booking her a room at the local hospital that night after the fox. It's already reserved. You know what? It's British healthcare. You'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Just a couple euros. So no. So I'm excited, and I'm like, I'm going fox hunting in Ireland. I've fox hunted in, let's see, I fox hunted in Georgia. I fox hunted in Ohio, and I fox hunted in Kentucky. And I was always in the very back. I was totally last, and I was mostly drunk. So I really don't know what I'm getting myself into. So. What is fox hunting? Tell me about it. I need to learn. Aside from, don't tell me that story about you flipping over the jump and doing a rotational fall, because I don't need nerve.
That was in England. I'm sure Irish foxing is much different.
Yeah, Irish is better.
No, I think Irish fox hunting is about as madcap as it gets. I think
yes.
It might be even, I mean, you in Cooper Hills in Galway, right? So
yes, I was already going to go there anyway, and so I'm going to Galway. And they're like 3 minutes outside Galway.
Well, I mean, Galway Blazers, you know, that's a legendary hunt, and so you got to look up some YouTube videos, helmet cams of
maybe
the
not.
Galway.
Maybe don't look them up.
Oh yeah, you got to do it. And then you can just practice via, you know, just watch a whole bunch of YouTube videos, and then you get on the horse. It'll be pretty much the same way. You'll be fine, Jamie.
I saw the one where they jumped a ditch and then jumped the other ditch, and not many horses made. And then it's like water, and they try to jump down in the water. I watched that unbelievable video, and I just thought, please God, make sure I'm not on that one.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, it sounds like Cooper, it sounds like they're going to take good care of you, you know, but that's so exciting.
Well, now, Leslie, explain, do they run three fields over there, and kind of explain what that is?
I don't know what a field is, so talk to me about that.
Jennifer and Leslie can explain that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly how they do it, but I mean, I think generally there's sort of a first flight or a first field, second field, and a hilltopper. So the hilltoppers generally don't jump, and so you can kind of choose your own adventure. But I mean, of course you're gonna jump. I command you,
Jennifer. A lot of those bigger hunts do have, if they have enough horses, they have three fields, right?
Yeah.
So,
and does that mean like one?
In Europe, I think they still call them hilltoppers. They don't call them third flight.
Yeah.
They call them what they are.
Yeah, there's kind of different groups, a hierarchy of.
So the first ones are crazy, 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 and jump all those big jumps.
Yeah, that's where you want to be, Jamie.
And they've been
all the other fields are dead to you.
Yeah, that's right. And they've been imbibing. The middle field's been really imbibing, and they're jumping smaller. And then the last field, all they're doing is drinking and on a trail ride and following along and watching everybody else fall off. So that's pretty much your three right there.
Right.
Yeah. They're like the blood wagon of the
world. Yeah, exactly.
World,
exactly.
Of the fox hunting world. Gotcha.
Exactly.
So there, I know that, first of all, do I have to have a pink coat? And what do I wear in fox hunting?
No, definitely do not show
no,
up
you
in
do
a
not
pink
show
coat.
Up in a pink coat. No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's only for the masters.
that would have been great. My red coat.
Yeah, think dressage, very conservative. Whatever is the plainest thing you have, wear that. Don't bring your bling helmet or your bling stock pin, you know, just the most toned down everything that you've got.
Will she have to, on a serious note, will she have to put a velvet helmet cover over her helmet?
No, you know what? A lot of people over there hunt. I was surprised. They hunt in skull caps, you know,
hunt. Because that used to be a thing, right? I mean, when Jennifer was riding up in Biopia, I know you had to have the velvet helmet cover over your helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a velvet helmet from back in the day. It's probably expired. It's 5 years, though. So I just go, so I think I need to overnight myself some khaki full seats, because I think full seats are probably going to be pretty important. So boots, breeches, we're talking stock ties and pins and coats and the whole nine yards, like dressage attire.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Now, give me some of the unspoken rules that I need to know about fox hunting.
I can help with that. You know, the guys in the red coats, don't pass them. Don't pass them intentionally or unintentionally. Don't pass the guys in the red coats.
They're pink. Well, I do know that they don't ever call it a red coat because it's a pink coat.
It's a pink coat. But us horse husbands, we can say whatever we want. So don't pass the guys in the red coats.
And they're not dogs. They're hounds.
Yeah, don't get that wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else?
What else? I mean, if you know, you got to have your flask on you, right? You know, if you pull out your flask, you should. It's polite to offer it to everyone around you.
Send me the flask.
Okay, and somebody offers you their flask, don't turn it down.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. Flask.
Apparently sharing germs is not a problem in a hunt.
Not a problem.
It's alcohol, Glenn. It kills germs.
So, yeah, exactly.
Right, I forgot.
Okay. So I need to get a flask, never refuse. Okay. What else? Give me some more.
Oh man. I mean, I don't know. Rules. Just, you know, do whatever, do what everyone else is doing. I think you'll be fine.
Follow the leader.
But literally. But I mean, that's a good thing to like not ever turn down anybody's flask. So
okay,
I remember when I fox hunted before, I was not a member of any hunt and I always had to stay at the back. Do I need to be the one in Georgia? I was like, they were like, you're dead last. Like the girl who invited me, she was like, you're last, like past no one. So is that how it's going to work as well?
Well, Jennifer,
I think that's probably some good etiquette, you know, stay toward the, you know, don't be right up there.
The back of the top. Flight, though, not the back of the whole.
But the back,
pack.
The field that you're in. Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
So Jennifer worked at Myopia, which is one of the poshest hunts in the country of the United States. And so, Jennifer, do you have any other advice to give her? Because you kind of were in charge of the visitors that came to Myopia to hunt.
Advice for visitors. The most common infraction is gabbing. You're not out there to talk. You're out there to fox hunt.
I get in trouble for that when I hunt.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Shut up, Wally.
Just like the hounds, hold your tongue. Don't be gabbing.
Okay. Got that.
That's going to be hard for Jamie.
See, that's the problem, though, is if you're a noisy drunk, if you kind of get a little chatty when you're drinking, that can be a real problem. It really can. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. What else, Jennifer? What else?
Let's see here. When in doubt, don't say anything.
Okay. Don't answer questions.
And something else that I find a lot of troop people struggle with, and I've gotten into mischief with this too, is if it's not straightforward who the master of your flight is all of the time. If you're in first flight, the guy with the pink coat up front, and there's liable to be several of them. It's obvious that's the person you're not allowed to pass. And believe me, if there are four people with pink coats, don't pass any of them. I don't care.
Am I allowed to talk to them?
Don't pass them either.
Do I get to talk to them, or is it like, don't talk to the guy in the pink coat?
You can say good morning and introduce yourself and then wait to be spoken to.
Okay. Okay. Good to know. This is sounding a little stressful.
But sometimes there's someone in charge of your field or your flight that is not wearing a pink coat, but is wearing the hunt colors. Can be a little more subtle. Hunt colors just means the color of the collar on their jacket is a specific color to that hunt. Sometimes that can be a little tricky. So pay close attention at the beginning of the day. Wait until you've been out on the hunt for at least 30 minutes before you start drinking so that you're sober at the beginning when they give out the directions. That's my advice.
Okay, this is like the greatest thing I've ever heard. Okay, now what I'm understanding so far is some of the personal challenges for me would be things like dress conservatively. Don't be chatty.
I think that's your biggest personal challenge, to be honest.
Because, I mean, you guys know that I'm I'm fairly quiet, so that should
be that shouldn't be a problem at all. Leslie, how did you survive? You are the chattiest drunk I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, no, I do. I get. I have to keep myself in check when I go hunting around here, because I'm always so excited to see all the all my hunting friends, and I'm like, what are you about to say? Blah 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 blah. Shh, Wiley.
Jamie, you have to do us a favor, though. You have to get your phone out at some point when it's safe and record the sounds of the hunt for us to play. And that okay. We really want you to be hitting record as you're falling off so we can hear that. Okay.
So it'd be good radio. Is it appropriate or inappropriate to picture this? It's all the hounds everywhere. I'm galloping along. There's a jump coming up. It's a beautiful morning. It's spectacular. Is it appropriate for me to go, woo-hoo! Can you do that? Or is that considered talking?
No, I would keep that in. Keep it in.
Okay, so what I'm understanding, the dress conservatively, don't be chatty, don't ask questions. Those are going to be a challenge. Carry a flask and drink other people's flask. That will not be a challenge. So there's a couple things that are going to be easy. There's a couple things that are going to be challenging. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. No yeehaws either. That's
no woohoos, no yeehaws.
Yeah.
Don't act American.
I'm hearing from Dr. Wendy, who has hunted anywhere all over the world, actually, California, Virginia, Ireland, all over the place. Her on too. And she said, be polite. No one wants to hunt with a. No one, I can't even say that. Be polite.
No one wants to hunt with a bee. Gotcha.
And they appreciate good riders. So you should be fine.
Okay. Yep. I can ride and I'm polite. So thank you, Wendy. That's really good. That's just so I'm going to write that down.
How did Wendy survive the no talking to everybody rule? That's my question.
Oh my God. Wendy, Leslie, and I, Jennifer and her, the four of us would be
we'd have to
out.
Have our own field. Yeah. Fourth field.
The chatty field.
Happy hour.
Now, I think I just heard from Cooper's Hill. They just sent me a private message. They're listening this morning, and they've canceled your invitation.
You're such an asshole. You totally snaked me twice on the show so far.
Have such a good time, Jamie. Such a good time. And they'll take good care of you for sure. So don't get too caught up in, you know, the formality and whatnot. Just have a good time.
Is it inappropriate or appropriate to have one of the GoPros?
I mean, people certainly do ride with them, you know.
I would ask Cooper's Hill that, and they'll let you know.
Ask Cooper's Hill,
Now, can you arrange for Lady Martha to show up and ride with her?
Because I'll work on it.
Okay.
I feel like I'm going to find my plenty of versions of Irish versions of Lady Martha.
Yeah.
Yes, and Sir Martha's. It's Ireland, for God's sake.
You need to get some interviews at the end of the hunt, though.
What do I need to do?
You do need to do that.
What do I need to put in the flask, Leslie? I mean, it's Ireland. Is it? I mean, I don't want to be cheesy and put Jameson in the flask, or do you do something more fancy? Do I do a scotch? In there? I mean, that's what I like. So.
Some ARAG. Fermented mare's milk, but you guys haven't had this one before. You're like, what is this?
Have some butter.
That's funny.
I don't know. There's many options. Whatever tastes good to you. There's lots of good, you know, like ports or just some Bailey's is good.
Hey, I was we were in Orlando over the weekend taping for our new show, and we passed through this gift shop that had a flask that was at least a foot tall. Is there a limit to the size she can carry?
I am Amazoning flasks right now.
Do we know what horse you're getting, by the way? Do we know what kind of
wine
horse?
Bra. I'll just loan you my wine.
Send that on over.
Yeah. Perfect. Amazon that on over. That'd be great. 2 days. I need it. As far as the horses go, they actually invited me to come cross-country school the day before, but I'm making Chad already dedicate now because he's like, oh, I want to come with you. But he was going to golf the day I was going to fox hunt. And he's like, it sounds amazing. I really want to come. And I was like, does this mean I have, yeah, he's like, yep, you're golfing. He's like, I'll do horses one day with you. You have to come drive me around or hit or whatever at the golf club. And I'm like, fine. So we're going to do horses together and then golf together.
Adorable.
Yeah. So it should be awesome. Should be fun. And I'm Amazoning flasks right now. I need some khaki full seats and some, what is the best sticky spray in eventing? What's that sticky spray everybody uses?
What is that called? What is that sticky spray called? It has a name. Jennifer?
Don't say Pam.
Finer tack up spray is your friend.
Non-finer tack up spray. There you go. And you know, you also want to bring some monkey butt for after you're done riding. So,
it does rain a lot in Ireland.
Yeah, you might be needing that monkey butt before you go ahead.
I don't have to have those brown topped boots, do I? Just regular
riding black boots. You'll be fine.
Like, watch me come out in like the big hip jodhpurs and the brown thing with a crop and a red coat. Oh my God, that'd be awesome. Hello, I am here to event to fox hunt, and I currently just stepped out of 1863.
And awesome. I got to ask Leslie, she's due to come back. What date are you due to come back to the show? You're going to be off next week. You're due back the 30th, right?
I will be back on the 30th.
Just Lord in case, and the creek yeah. Just in case, Leslie, can we book you to co-host that entire show in case things go south in Ireland? And I'm not necessarily worried about the fox hunting; it's all the drinking that I'm really concerned about.
So. Oh, that'd be super fun. Yeah.
Okay. Good. All right. Good. Thanks.
I will be here.
Well, everybody,
is 8 ounce flask a good size? Because I'm online, Leslie. Talk to me. 8 ounce, or do I go 6 ounce, or do I go like, you know, 47 ounce flask? Like, strap that puppy on my back like a camelback.
Probably one of the first ones you mentioned. Maybe not okay. The camelback. Yeah.
Oh my God. So the horse that I'm riding will be provided by Cooper's Hill. Do you ask about the horse?
Yeah. Do you know what you're getting?
I don't at all. You know, there's a lot of Irish drafts and there's a lot of Connemaras. So maybe I'll get a combo of the two. Who knows?
She'll get this quarter horse that they have saved for Americans who come over.
Oh God, please don't put me on a quarter horse. I want to feel like. Go ahead, Jen.
You know what? You know what, Jamie? I have the perfect rehearsal for you. Remember how your first Mustang was Thor? The first 3 months you owned him, no steering, no brakes, went really fast wherever he wanted.
Yeah,
that's what you're going to be riding in Ireland.
Okay.
So just practice on Thor and you will be fine.
Good to know. So yeah, that's what I was going to ask. What I really want to feel like under me as I'm galloping across a field is almost like I'm on some sort of draft horse, you know, like I want to be Merida and Brave without the bow and arrow.
You got to dye your hair red before you go over just to fit in.
I just might. That's what I want to do. Demi, give me the Shire. I want to gallop through and jump things and shoot bows and arrows, except for without the bows and arrows. But I'm married.
Feeling that Cooper's Hill's not going to be our friends anymore after this. I really do.
They're going to love us even more. I'm not going to embarrass you, Glenn. Okay. It's not going to be like when I'm competing and you say, please don't use the Horse Radio Network saddle pad because I don't want anybody to know who you are.
Can you do me a favor and not wear any Horse Radio Network gear while you're there either? Yeah. Thanks.
I'm going to do you proud. I'm going to come up like with the hat and the shirt and business cards and everything.
Well, Leslie, please keep the 30th open just in case. Just appreciate that. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us today. Of course, Leslie's from Horse Nation, Eventing Nation, Jumping Nation, and all the other nations. Is that all the nations, or did I miss one?
Sport Horse Nation.
Did we lose Leslie? It figures if we did. And we did. That's just par for our day right there.
Sport Horse Nation. I've Sport been shopping Nation. For horses.
There you go. Sport Horse Nation as well, and we did lose Leslie. Well, that's going to wrap up this technologically challenged episode of Horses in the Morning. We are not here tomorrow. We are dark tomorrow because the Certified Horsemanship Association show that normally happens tomorrow is live next week. We're going to the National Convention in Lexington next week, and it'll be next Thursday. We'll be coming to you live from there. They have like 12 guests lined up. We're going to be on stage in front of everybody. So that should be a fun show that we're going to do for you next Thursday. So tomorrow will be dark. You're back Wednesday, right?
You're still yes, I am. And okay. I'm looking online, and there are, first of all, there's a unicorn hip flask. It's like rainbow colors. And then there's also a fashion bracelet that you can put on and fill up with booze. And then there's thing that can reseal your water bottle so you can sneak booze into like football games. I'm learning so much.
I saw these rings that had little flasks in them too the other day. So you might want to look for that. You could have one in each finger.
Coming in with my bling. Look at me. Got a gold tooth.
You're going to have so much fun in Ireland. You really are.
Oh, it's just my thing. Oh my God, there's an iPhone flask. It looks like an iPhone and you can pour booze out of it.
See? There you go. Perfect.
God. What is going on?
Can you take pictures with it too?
No, right? Probably not. Oh my gosh, this is going to be so fun. Yeah, so I'll be back Wednesday. We'll talk more. And I'm actually trying to book Cooper's Hill, so don't embarrass me if they come on.
Cooper's Hill Equestrian, you can find them actually at Cooper's Hill. Well, let me see. What is their website? There's several Cooper's Hill. You don't want to get the wrong
one. It's Cooper's Hill Livery.
Livery, yeah.
Okay. And just Google that, or just Google Cooper's Hill Equine, because there's a Wix site and I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff. So just Google Cooper's Hill
Google. I just Googled Cooper's Hill Livery and it came up first. So,
okay.
Yeah, you'll find it there. There is a Cooper's Hill Equine. That's a different place.
Oh. Well,
okay. And there's a hunting clinic in Ireland with Cooper's Hill Livery, and they have a YouTube. So you might want to watch that.
Yes.
Hunting in Ireland with Cooper's Hill. They have a Pinterest page with 417 images. Let me see how many are falling off.
There are booze tampon flasks.
Okay, that's disturbing. All right, that's really disturbing. That is really, really disturbing. Okay, I'm looking at their page. Oh, man, those jumps are big. I'm looking at their Pinterest page with all the pictures from people who have done what you're doing. And there's some pretty ponies. And I don't see, ironically, there's nobody falling off. But the jumps are pretty big.
Yeah, I'm going to be awesome, Glenn.
You are. You're going to be fine. Awesome. I joke with you, but you
and
will be
gonna
fine.
They're going to take good care of me, too.
I'm sure they hopefully. Will. I'm sure they will. I'll make sure Leslie's booked for that Monday. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you all on Wednesday. Sorry about the technological issues today. We'll hope all the stars line up for Wednesday for a better show. Horsesinthemorning.com.
Spay, neuter, gallop. Have a good one.